Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world. To the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Solo Channel. Sports in Depth is the show. And we always open up with a prayer. John Coltrane's legendary, dear Lord. Dear Lord, we thank you for another day, paying homage to you in every way, and especially on your day. Thank you, Lord, for little things we so largely take for granted. And more importantly, Lord, give us knowledge not what we want, but what we need. And we need thee every hour, dear Lord. Let your way be our. Thank you, Lord, for blessings forthcoming that have come, all unmerited, but by the grace of God. Bless us. You're God all by yourself, the Lord, and although you're not everybody's God, you are the one and only true God. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come together again. We thank you, the Lord, for all things great and small. And we ask you to bless and all the blessings in the name of your darling son, Jesus. Amen. Doc Stanley, Sports Network on the Blake, the Network Rainbow Soul Channel, Sports Network Show. The panelists coming in. It's amazing. We're live here at MetLife Stadium, the Carolina Panthers against the New York Jets, and the opening voice is Larry Hardesty, who is also the ESPN sideline sports reporter down the sidelines. And it's always amazing when you kind of know the people that you listen to and you put his face and the voice that comes on, broadcasting to the world. Got a chance to talk to him last week at Double T, and he in turn turned me on to his cousin, Cleo Kilpatrick, one of outstanding baseball players back in the day. Dusty would know him because Dusty – even goes back to Cain and Abel, so Dusty knows everybody. And very interesting.
I rode the chariot.
you were the chariot maker. Yeah? But hey, Sheila, the show that comes on before us, she's on 7:30 to 8:30, and got a chance to talk to her last week. Yeah, but Miss Foster, oh yeah, we know the name, and why so well we know the name because I was talking to Sheila, and the first lady of Blake Radio Communications, Lady D, she was saying, Doc, give Sheila a call. She wants to get she can get you in contact with George Foster. She starts talking to Big Red Machine. So I started talking to Sheila, very versed, very up on the inside, in-depth stuff she knew. And I said, wow. I said, yeah. She said, so you're George Foster's cousin, aren't you? She said, no, I'm George Foster's wife. I'm Mrs. Foster. So next week we're going to have as I thought about it, there's only two baseball players I can remember in the history of this game that had bats that were famously known because they were used by them and they were black. Black Beauty was the bat that first Shoeless Joe Jackson had that bat, and it was his batting style that Babe Ruth emulated, and then the great George Foster, Black Beauty, that monster he hit with 57 home runs, was one of the late last great sluggers in this game. Him, Howard Bell, Caseco when he was on, Big Poppy, just a slugger. Long ball hitter, 47 home runs, more RBIs. So we're going to have George and Mr. Kilpatrick with us next week. Yeah, this interesting story about Shoeless Joe Jackson, who was wrongly disbanded from football, baseball. But, in his first year in the big leagues, he hit 400 and didn't win the batting title. Type God. I mean, how do you hit 428 and don't win the battle? It's halftime here at the New York Jets, Carolina Cougars, and Sea Wings is here. Sea Wings, I need two things. I need you something to drink, whatever they have to eat, and bring your camera. Your camera to here. Sea Wings is here. We're here. Dusty, you're here with us. Let's just talk a little about George Foster real quickly. Just one of the truly great stuff. I remember the story of Sparky Anderson. Went to Pete Rose and said, Pete, can you play third base? I've got to get Foster in this lineup. And what a lineup was. Yeah, I mean, Rose.
Murderer's Row of Cincinnati Red.
yeah. And then, you know, you're talking about Pete Lee leading off, and you had Ken Griffey Sr. batting second. Joe Morgan, two-time winner of the MVP, only second baseman winner back-to-back. Cleanup. I think Foster was in cleanup, if I'm correct. Foster was in cleanup hitter with Bench coming behind him. And then behind Bench, you had Perez. You know what I mean?
Tony Perez.
It didn't matter. You know, being, you know what I mean? Concepcion and then Sergio Geronimo and the pitcher.
Concepcion was more like a slap hitter, you know, a singles hitter, you know. But that was dangerous.
After going through those guys, you were glad to see anybody that was going to slap something to stay inside the ballpark.
There are times I find that a slap hitter was more dangerous. You got bases loaded and a slap.
But with that team, wouldn't nobody on base? After Foster them came up, Foster, then you had Bench.
Exactly.
But wouldn't nobody on base? I mean, you were so glad somebody hit the ball and keep it in the ballpark. It's a cut. Let's do the intro of the man who will bring you into the Sports and Depth Nation, who gave it the name himself, Mel Cosell Smith Jr. Rooney, tell the world. We are here.
Why, of course, good doctor. The Sports In Depth Nation is here. The Sports In Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I'm here. We are here via the Blake Radio Network. And the straw that stirs the drink is here. And that's Doc Stanley. Take it away, Doc.
Thank you, Rooney. And without further ado, here's something to hear.
All day, all night, all the time. BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul.
Doc Stanley Sports and Depth on the Blake Radio Network. It is a live broadcast from MetLife Stadium in New Jersey, where the Carolina Panthers are doing what everybody else has been doing during this preseason, is beating up on the New York Jets. And before we go into that, let's bring another commercial. Joining us will also be Sea Wings live and in person here as we bring you this game live from MetLife Stadium. We were here the other day. The Giants lost to the Chicago Bears, and the Jets are keeping in tradition of both the way they've been playing and the way the teams have been playing here so far at MetLife Stadium, as they are on the lower end of this game here with about...
It's only one point. Oh, sorry.
Well, hey, you know that? Yeah, it's only. You know, but to think about it, and hold it. Let's do this quick. Oh, don't move, gang. Here we go.
Check out Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com, where you'll hear talk radio at its best. Featuring entertainment, sports, nutrition, Africana studies, holistic healing, and celebrities. Listen to Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com, where you'll hear talk radio at its best. Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com. Talk radio for your mind, body, and soul.
Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Blake Radio, Rainbow Soul Channel Sports Network. The Jets are down by one. But you know what, Dusty? They're down by one.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And this is what I always say. And when you get a turnover and you're down in the red zone and you come away with 3 points instead of 7 points, it's a psychological advantage for the defense.
Exactly.
And that turned out to be the case
here
because Carolina held them and would it come right down the
back.
Field.
Yeah.
And took the lead. Rooney, you agree or what?
I absolutely agree, Doc. And like you said, it's a psychological advantage for the D. It's like, hey, it's better that they put up three than six or seven.
Yeah, and they get beat. I mean, they intercepted or whatever. It will fall, however the play got, and then they get the ball and then down in the and what would they call it, the red zone or whatever you call it, and practically three up, three down, and then they had to kick it for to save face.
Three up,
but they should have been
in
the end zone.
And three up, three down, Dusty, and I'm not going to tell you this again. You have to quit agreeing with me, even if you do. This is not good. No, but
yeah, Doc, that's happening an awful lot.
Well, from now on, I'm
alarmed. You know what, Rooney? It's getting near the holiday. He's thinking Christmas here. I know his plan. He's thinking Christmas here.
I want a dolly. I want a tank. And I want a cowboy outfit.
Hey, we're talking about dolly. But, you know, Dusty, you said something, and it's what?
Yeah.
Patrick Hurrah. Hold on. I'm gonna get one of the top. You got 2 minutes?
Yeah.
Give me 1 minute, ladies and gentlemen. The one of the top minds of this world of football, Patrick Herrera. Patrick, just talk to us halftime. Your thoughts, your assessment. What do you see and how are things going along right there?
I tell you what. Tonight has to be a night to which the Jets have to really begin to buckle down and decide where they're at. They've been down in the red zone twice and still not a touchdown. I'm not killing Sanchez because 2 passes were dropped in the second quarter. It could have made a difference. But after 2 out of the point, had a touchdown in the end zone, couldn't hang on to it. But it does say that they have some potential. What they started out with particularly when passing the ball when it first came out, they moved the ball well. But then they stopped and tried to really ground and pound, and the ground and pound went down. So at the end of the second half, it's going to be interesting to see what If ten people score a touchdown in the third quarter, we're going to have a controversy. So they put Wayne Hunter in for running plays as opposed to putting a tight end and both the tight ends are down. So we'll see more things about that. So I think the third quarter is too bad. Cameron's a man. You know, so he's just doing, he's playing vanilla tonight. He can do everything. If the Jets had him, they wouldn't have no problems. You know, Cam Newton can play, he can do everything that a quarterback can do and more. He doesn't get enough credit for what he can do. Because of the fact that we've concentrated on mediocrity instead of greatness.
That's correct. One of the top football minds. In fact, you know, I remember Patrick used to work for the Nets, but he's just one of the guys. He knows the football like sea wings here. He knows the football college wise, pro wise, and African American wise. And it was really nice to get his segment. Hey, man. Okay, sea wings. You heard Patrick. What do you concur with?
I definitely have to concur with him. Territory. And they had to settle for a 3 points, which you cannot go into the regular season. The problem that I have with the Jets is that they have the receiving core. They have Santonio Holmes sent all too, but as you see, Stephen Hill, he's still a rookie, he's got a time to develop, and Santonio, a number of drops tonight, we can't have that at all.
Oh, yeah.
We have touchdowns. And you look at it, Carolina's not even playing up to their full potential. Since he mentioned his assessment on Cam Newton, the big thing about Cam Newton is that he is not an athlete playing a quarterback position. He's a quarterback who's athletic, and as you see, he was under pressure tonight and was able to evade a lot of the pressure put on by the New York Jets. So this is what the big positive I see tonight is that the Jets are affording Mark Sanchez a lot more protection where he could do the three-step, plant his feet, throw the ball, and we get that out there for the completion. So they're moving in the right direction with the offensive line, giving the quarterback the protection and the time to set, throw, get that ball in there for the completion. But Santonio Holmes, he's going to have to step up. He's dropping these balls. That may be rough.
Yeah.
From coming off an injury. But tonight is tonight. You're not going to have a lot of these guys other than our normal starters from last year playing on this team. They're going to have to cut that roster down. couple of weeks, in a week or so, it's going to come down to the 53-man roster. The time is now.
Exactly. You read my mind.
Get that confidence. Tonight is a night to get their confidence.
Build up.
Whether they win or lose tonight, tonight they're playing for confidence. And we need that to move forward, start this season off right. We play the Buffalo Bills, who were trounced their last preseason game. So I don't see too much of a problem if this Jet offensive line, because defense was doing a pretty good job tonight. They were getting in there, putting pressure on Cam Newton,
yeah,
even though he was evasive, but that was very positive tonight. And Mark Sanchez, he got into the rhythm in the second quarter, 70-plus yards on the drive. That's what the offense has to do to get the ball moving, keep the defense off the field, let them rest, punch that ball in there, and get it in for 7 points.
Doc Stanley Sports. I'm going into the press box here, and I got to remember Brian's last name. From the New York Post, Brian Lewis, long-time friend. But, Brian, just your thoughts first half. You know, it seemed like Sanchez was able to maybe perform better. How do they look? I mean, you know, once again, they're losing.
Well, Sanchez is let down. He performed better than the numbers will show. His receivers couldn't hold on to the ball. If you look at Santonio should have had a reception over the middle. He drops the ball very next play. They get picked off. Nice return back there. So this is a case where he's performing better than his numbers, and his receivers and his teammates around him are letting him down.
Well, that's Brian. What do you see as far as the offensive line than in the last game when they played the Giants? Have you seen an improvement?
I have seen an improvement. I mean, when you look at Austin, I mean, he's actually played well. He's got a little bit more help than Hunter did on certain occasions, but he's played well. I mean, that's if you're looking for a bright spot out of this, I'd say he's a bright spot in that you've got a tackle position where you weren't sure what it was going to look like, where it's been a glaring concern, and you put a journeyman in there who has not shown an awful lot heretofore before this, and he's actually performed.
Well, what's your outtake on Laron Landry tonight?
Individually, not bad. Now, there was a miscommunication in the end zone. He and Bart looking at each other. Nobody knows who had the man there. So, obviously, that's more of a team-wide aspect. I think that's something they have to get ironed up.
Do you think that this game tonight, whether win or lose, that they need, they're playing for confidence going into the season with the problems they've had?
Yeah, I'd say usually in the preseason, I don't put a lot of stock in preseason scores. The only one that I pay any attention to is a third preseason game where you're actually going to give your regulars a little bit of a run out. For the most part, preseason scores, I pay absolutely no attention to whatsoever. If there's one that you're going to look at, though, it's this one, especially offensive.
Dr. Stanley Sports Net from the Blake Radio Network, main host of the Town Sports Net, the show, one of the top writers around in the world, Brian Lewis, New York Post. Connor, you've got a question for Brian Shute, Adam. I'm going to quick one real quick. Your assessment, Cam Newton, is he the real deal?
Oh, Cam Newton can play. Cam Newton just, they need to rise up around him. And Cam is the least of their problems. Cam is solid. Cam can play.
Dusty?
Yes.
You have a question?
I didn't hear that.
He's got to get back to the press box, but I'm trying to catch you guys after halftime.
Yeah, the time we're coming in squabble there, Doc, and I can't hardly hear the questions or the answers.
Yeah, you guys are coming in a little low.
Okay.
Yeah, that was.
But
I did hear him mention Cam Newton. Well, Cam Newton is a real package there. I mean, that's the worst.
You're saying exactly what he said, Dusty.
Right, and he has something. Well, he did. Well, then he and I agree. But the idea is that he's 6'6", and he's a quarterback by resume, but he's everything else too. I mean, he can adjust to anything, and scramble for yardage if he can't find a receiver. He can do that, with all the respect to Sanchez, better than Sanchez, you know, and because he's that big and that strong.
Mm-hmm.
The fact of the matter is that Yeah, I think I do agree with C-Wings totally. This is the third game of the spring training, you know, and they should have shown some more sharpness than to just to settle for field goals. They should have been in the end zone a long time. I don't know if it was mentioned, but I was disappointed that what's the guy home? Holmes dropped an easy catch.
Yes, yes,
pass.
You also agree in good us. You also agree with C-Wings and you agree with Brian that this is a vital football game. This is guys who make the team, these guys
it
who don't make the team.
You see, if this was the first game of the preseason, well, you say, you know, they got to get the irons hot and the playbook down page by page and all that. but you've had enough knockdowns already, and this being the third one, to begin to say, hey, there has to be some positiveness shown in their performance offensively and defensively. But to just go up there squeaking, and settle for 3-3-3-3-3 here, Cam Newton turns around and beats them by just by a touchdown. You know, so this is what I'm saying. Here this man made his plays and got a touchdown where you should have already had two or three touchdowns. And that's the problem here, you know. So I don't know who they're playing next week, but it's crucial that they iron out all the kinks and rough spots here today to begin to show what they're going to give us during the season after next week's game. You see, and the fact of the matter is that yes, people do not put too much status. I don't know, too much emphasis on the preseasons, because after all they came back from a 6-month vacation and they got all the they're fat and greasy and they're trying to get back into shape and they haven't seen the playbook in a long time. But these are professionals who should know what this whole business is all about. It should only take not so much getting in condition. They should not have been out of condition in the first place, but they should be just acclimating and warming up to the task. I saw Justin Teller there got hurt.
Yeah,
how serious.
We're going to get the halftime test. And essentially, we have to stop because right now everybody has to say hello to Rosie, our number one listener from some Volta Redonda in Brazil.
Hello, Rosie.
Come on.
Hello, Rosie.
C-Wings, how's it, Rosie? She's here. She's live. And check it out. She says, you know what? She says that we are giving good questions. And the 3 points.
Very good.
Good job. Hey, Doc, I want to make this point also, if I may.
Coach. Good.
I have to say, picking back on what the other writer was saying a moment
Brian
ago.
Yeah, Brian Lucian from the New York Post.
The guy who was playing the right tackle today, Austin or doing a tremendous job on Charles Johnson, who by the way is Carolina's best pass rusher. Very, very good playing the right tackle position so far.
Brian put up a good point too. Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Black Radio Network, Rainbow Soul Channel Sports Network show live from MetLife Center. It's the Jets and the Panthers. Right now, the Panthers with a 1-point lead, Jets moving the football. It's the third quarter. Cam Newton has shown he's a real deal, but we're all ecstatic that our number one listener in the world, Rosie from Volta Redonda in Brazil, right outside of the legendary Rio de Janeiro, not Rio people, in Portuguese it's Rio de Janeiro, but everybody calls it Rio, where the 2016 Olympics will be held. 2014, Brazil will have the world Cup games, and hold on, Rosie's coming through again. Me on Skype is a beautiful thing, man. Beautiful thing. She's coming through with another message. She's always listening. And understand now that they're an hour ahead of us. So as we come on here at 9:30, it's 10:30. And believe she said, I'm doing well with my Portuguese. Rio de Janeiro. She said, I'm saying it very nicely. Obrigada, Bella. And we also want thank you very much for the photos you sent me. Happy anniversary. Her parents' anniversary. This month, we also were sending out get a wish to her dad. Happy birthday to Irving Magic Johnson, who celebrated another birthday this month, and to my good friend Jacqueline from Cape Verde, who speaks fluent Portuguese, her daughter Mayla,
Uncle Doc said happy birthday to her. She had a birthday on the 21st. As you know, our president's birthday this month, as well as the number one Nick of all time in a lot of people's minds, Patrick Ewing, celebrated another birthday this month. So, and the 10th of this month was the birthday of, I have a daughter named Turquoise, and she's named after the wife, the former wife of the great Julius Irving, Turquoise Brown Irving. Doc Stanley, Sports and Up on the Blake, with the Network Rainbow Soul, the channel Sports and Up show. We are talking about a host of things, mainly football, that we're live here from MetLife Stadium. As you know, the other night, the Chicago Bears beat the New York Giants, but you don't put a lot of faith in that as a first-team plays Giants. Back in the lost column, they had kind of evened things up a little bit with the Jets. Jets are trying to kick a field goal that would put them ahead. It is far. It is. It's no good. It's no good.
No good.
And with that, Brown.
That was due to the false start.
They just got a penalty, and they had to go back.
Yeah.
That came out of field goal range. Oh, a false start penalty.
Am I hearing you?
Coming in very low over there.
Doc Stanley, Sports Step on the Blake Radio Network. Rudy, can you see wings? I don't think we are. We fellas, are we getting sea wings?
You got me.
Time to Doc Stanley, Sports Step on the Blake Radio Network. Rainbow Soul, Sports Step on the show. Rooney.
Yeah, Doc.
Rooney? Okay, and Dusty?
Yeah, very low.
Okay. Sea wings?
Seemings is in the studio.
Well, okay, make sure we're looking for Lady A going to join us momentarily. Hopefully, get some boxing here real quick.
And let me say this also,
assignment.
Doc, before you go on, they made a great point about them not helping out Sanchez. He's hit a bunch of guys in the hands, and they're dropping the balls on him.
Well, yeah, it's true. Rudy, real quickly, let's get to wonder why we. You know, seems like football is kind of inapt here where we're at. If you're not a Panther fan, not too much to do. But can we talk a little WWF here for a minute? You brought up some points the other day. You had a story or two. I think right about now is the time for WWF story.
Well, actually, Doc, it's actually not so much the WWF. And see, Wendy, I really want you to focus because you'll love the story. I'll try to be brief. They had a former world champion named Handsome Harley Race, a 8-time National Wrestling Alliance World Heavyweight Champion, the NWA, who basically takes up the Midwest and what have you, know, the Nebraskas and all down there in the Midwest and South. Anyway, I mentioned Harley when I was talking to you earlier this week, Doc, because he is known by the other old-timers when he was wrestling, basically his heyday was in the 70s and 80s, as one of the 10 toughest men in the entire world. That's how most of the guys would describe Harley. At the tender age of 14, 15, the guy had turned pro, Doc, at the tender age of 15, was a pro wrestler. What had happened was he got kicked out of high school because he had gotten a fight with some guy. Principal tried to break it up, and he knocked the principal out. Cold. Principal
really?
Said that. Yeah, knocked him out cold, Doc, at the age of 15, but he's a rather big kid. Principal said that, you know, if you apologize, you know, we will reinstate you, you know, let you come back to school. The kid stood on principal, said, hey, I was right. I refused to apologize, never went back. Anyway, to make a long story short, Doc, at the 10 to age 14, 15, the kid was smoking unfiltered cigarettes. I think his choice was Camels or some such thing. And Doc, what happened was the guy would go from city to city, and he earned his living, Doc, to the age of 15, by walking into a bar, challenging the toughest guy in the joint to a winner-take-all,
and thus became part of the legend of Harley Race, a bona fide, legitimate tough guy who anyone that's ever met him said the toughest old damn bastard that you ever met in your life, and the former 8-time National Wrestling Alliance champion, Handsome Harley Race, who, and I'll say this and let you guys get back to football, his favorite slogan was, and I remember 15 taking on men to win and take all, his favorite slogan was, if I hit a guy with my left hand and he doesn't fall, I'm going to walk around and see what the hell is holding him up. And he meant it. And he meant it. I'm from Harley Race. Thank you, Doc.
Well, now, how did he get, now, how, Rudy, how did he get handsome? I know he
hey, C-Wings, that was just his moniker, real name Harley Race, but he added handsome to the name, and I got to tell you, based on his legend, I don't know who to argue with him. So,
I mean, look at him, even one of his toughest opponents, Hulk Hogan, I remember, had a hard time with him. I mean, he was one of the dominating wrestlers of the 70s.
He really was. You know, I remember watching this as a kid, him being in the ring with a very young, very tough, and at this time a bit of an athlete, Andre the Giant. And the guy just would not back down in any way. He said, hey, basically, hey, Andre, I see the size of you, kid, but if you want to make it in this business, I'm going to show you that this isn't for the faint of heart. And at the time, that took a lot of heart for a guy that's facing a guy who's about, at the time, Andre is about 7'2", about 425 or so, and was athletic. Oh, I see a big interception on the Jets' behalf. Just chiming in, I see you guys, I know you guys are live at the game. But yeah, the legend of Handsome Harley Race, so the bona fide, legitimate tough guy.
Wow, another turnover, as we see. Carolina Panthers, but it's a flag on a play. Let's see if it's going to be against the Jets. This will be pretty bad.
Yeah, well, as has been all night long. Every time they do something positive, there seems to be a shot in the dark. Now, I think is the host joining with us, or is this Lady A?
Well, that
Al West.
Against,
Carolina.
Yeah,
Al West.
First down.
They're running back a very vanilla offense, though, I must say. No Tebow packages, no Wildcat yet. The Jets are, I don't think they're going to show anything really offensively until the start of the season. They're purposely running a very, very vanilla offense.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well,
so we got three injuries tonight on the Jets. Dustin Keller is out with a hamstring. Josh Baker.
Baker seems very serious, didn't it?
Yeah, but it looked worse than what it was. He was able to walk off.
That was something that you said that was very surprising in the press box.
Yeah, which he didn't put any weight, too much weight on the right knee.
Right knee.
But he was able to walk off, which is a good sign. He's out the game. Right knee. He took a devastating hit in the end zone, going for that touchdown pass.
Yeah, that really was a brutal hit on the knee. Really was brutal. And I think Keller has some type of hamstring injury or some such thing.
Well, Keller, hamstring, we can figure it's the least serious of the possibilities. See, hamstring, he's got another week to relax, get back. The hit on the knee seems to be the very serious one. Helmet on the knee, something that was unintentional, but intentional or not, it was done.
Especially
absolutely brutal.
When you're getting hit from the top and then you get hit in the front, you get broken in half like that. That could be a career ender. But
it really
I was expecting to see the cart drag him off, but him walking off, I guess he'll get a further update from the coach at post game press conference.
And you know, nobody has a closer relationship than you do. In fact, coach should be calling in a minute, telling you what's happening. Doc Stanley, Sports Stuff on the Blake with an Everett Rainbow, so the Channel Sports Network show live at MetLife Stadium, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, yeah. From out of the blue. No longer is he secluded. No longer is he encased. I think the first lady of Blake Radio Sports and Boxing is here. Ladies and gentlemen, if I'm correct, Lady A is here to save the day.
Oh, my.
Lady A, is that you?
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, I rest my case, baby. Offer imitated would never do.
Hello!
You know, I know what, yeah, and you know what's so funny? As soon as Harold came on, right behind Harold came Lady A.
Nah, don't even go there, man.
Hi,
Harold! Hey, I've been missing you so much. I started to desert this station.
Harold, you know I'm not going anywhere. You know I miss your fine ass. Stop playing.
Well, baby, I mean, I haven't talked to you almost a month. I'm even counting the days and everything, boy.
I'm doing my guest appearance. I got to make my guest appearance.
Let me this dating game is still sports and death, okay?
Don't get jealous. Oh, my God, how classic.
Listen, I heard Lady A was training for the next Olympics, so
Don't tell anybody.
Lady A was at the Olympics. That's where she's been going.
No, I'm training. Listen, I don't know if you guys know this, but I'm training to become, yes, quarterback for the New York Jets. All right?
and you're just in time, Lady A, because I think they just put Wayne Hunter in.
Oh, my God. Listen,
you know,
there's
an application here for you, Lady A.
Don't worry about it, man. I'll sign up any day, man. My grandmother could probably pay better than these guys right about now. Harold, it's just as good as putting on a pair of boxing gloves and trying to play and be the heavyweight champion right about now.
Yeah,
probably have a chance.
Exactly right about that, Lady A.
What is
this
going
is
on, man?
The Holly Frazier fight.
Oh, my God, man. Listen.
I was watching the Little Leagues today where America with Japan. I mean,
right.
They just killed them so bad. They had just cut the game down. They couldn't even go to the sixth inning. They just said, forget about it. We ain't going no more. They put 12 runs so fast. It was like, why are we keep playing this game? I mean,
it's called the mercy rule. Ten runs over the other team, and they don't go into the next inning because they're not going to catch up. So it's the mercy rule. They do that Little League all the time.
Look at Tim Tebow, guys. He's flipping through his arm like William Shatner in the movie Beam Me Up, Scotty. He's looking for help over here. What's the story? Look at this.
Well, no, that's his code.
He's trying to help you. Here you go. Where you going, Papi? Where you going? Throw the football. Oh, God.
There you go, first down.
They're in the red zone. As we know, their red zone offense is not the best in the league, even though it was the best. The first half
got an injury.
Of the 2011 season, but we shall see. If they can punch it in here, that will be the Jets' first offensive touchdown of the season.
Yeah, they only scored without an offensive touchdown in the entire league, I believe.
But if you look at it, Eli Manning didn't score his first offensive touchdown until the last game they played. So, he's an elite quarterback, one of the best, top 10 quarterbacks, and he just scored his first touchdown in the last game that they played. But I think that the Jets are, if you see the Jets score an offensive touchdown with Tebow in there, I have to agree with our guy we had on that you will maybe see a quarterback controversy coming up in the next couple of weeks or next week and a half. Next week and a half, but
well,
the coach...
when everybody finds the excuses that it's a spring season. Did you see Peyton Manning the other day? He says, oh, wow, I threw 3 interceptions. This is something that I've never done before, but it's still spring training. So they'll find ways to ease out and saying that it's still spring training. But like I said, this is the third game. They should have gotten the rust out, and the playbook should have been 90%. Oh, no, not so much. 75% correct. And but then again, if you saw the list of injuries in today's game, I mean, something is not correct. These guys, did they stay in shape in the off season, or did they hit the banquet circuit, or what the heck? They went back to the wifey, knifey, and the kids and did nothing because they're getting hurt left and right.
What I can't believe is, seriously, the NFL being a billion-dollar industry, and they're about to start the season with replacement referees.
Can I ask a question? I mean, who won the Super Bowl last year again?
Hey, Harold, that's what they call really deep under the radar.
I'm getting lost. I mean, if we in spring training and we just going through the motions and everything,
yeah.
One thing the Giants don't have to prove is that they are qualified to be champions if everything falls into place. I'm saying that.
Yeah.
But my point is, the people that really got to prove themselves is all the other teams. But the team that is already with champions, they coming back knowing
right.
what they got to do to be champions again.
And they could be back-to-back for all we know because everything is quiet in giant land.
Right.
And in fact, the only controversy, if you guys read it, was that somebody's hero by the initials of JPP bounced one of the other ball players into a head, in the bathtub head first. And that
that's all we're talking
ending.
About.
He was a rookie.
And
Coughlin turned around and said, that's it. Snuffed
right.
and took control. And
right,
there
I mean,
are no
so,
controls. And, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
no
I mean my point is that, yeah, I'm just saying that the last thing the Giants got to worry about is how to play the game. Even if my man Manny, if he threw a three interception in pre-time, that's like a champion, a real champion, like Muhammad Ali gets knocked down three times
exactly.
in sparring.
Right. In a sparring session, I said, crap, well, then, hey, I got to work on this so I don't get knocked down
again.
Yeah,
Ali has been knocked down in sparring. I mean, so that doesn't mean you're going to lose the fight.
Exactly. And that's basically what's going on. It's quiet, going about the business. People saying, oh, man, but they lost to Chicago last week. So what?
I wrote a tremendous point. And the thing that Brandon Jacobs, Doc Stanley Sports Network, the Blake, the Rainbow Soda Channel, Sports Network Show, the thing that Brandon Jacobs brought up, too, was this seemed to need to do certain things to kind of get the headlines and take the attention away. But let's look something about the Giants, too, last year. Giants, you know, at one time they were 7-7. They got healthy. They got it together. They won some games. I think the game that really was a turning point was when they beat the Jets here, which was a game Christmas Eve. Whoever won that had a Christmas present from Santa Claus. The Giants got the Christmas present, and the Jets hung. So they won it with the cold 8-8 season. And something that Brandon Jacobs said too, and it's something that C-Wing said here. You know, the further away those back-to-back championship games are. And look, as we continue to move away from that, okay, 2 years ago, they won the championship game. The year before that, they won the championship game. But that's 3 years ago. As Hal has brought a tremendous point up, is that, yes, the Super Bowl champions or the New York Giants. I think the Tebow thing has worked in the sense that it has kept a lot of publicity and a lot of interest in the Jets. And I think Brian said a very good point. There was something said today. There was something said today about the Jets have some. They have two late primetime games, and the mindset was one of those games was to be they would be in the thick of everything when the first game was played, and then in the second game, if they were not there, well, then by that time, Tim Tebow would be the starting quarterback for the New York Jets.
Are we forgetting the main point here?
Good lady.
Okay. This is why Harold's point is so great. Like, how do you know and understand through the off season you're missing all these components?
Yeah.
Okay. You pick. You,
for 2 years
you know,
now,
like,
lady.
Wait, hold up.
Lady,
hold up.
For 2 years
you know
now,
you're missing
too.
All these components. Okay. You re-up this guy's contract. You get this other guy in here. But yet, at the same time, You need offensive line. Hold on. Let me go around the whole gamut. I also need a wide receiver. Oh, no, wait. I don't have any wide receivers. I have one. But let me try to see. What am I going to do about my running back situation, too? How do you spend all this money on all this stuff, but yet you don't provide them with the tools necessary to make a complete team like the Giants?
Well,
it just does not make sense financially to me.
Somebody just finished saying that the Jets, all they're doing, and they're 100% ahead of the line, all they're getting is a lot of ink. A lot of ink in the papers and maybe selling Tebow T-shirts and Models. That's all they're doing. They're not putting a bona fide team to put in the front there to challenge the Giants or to challenge anybody. It's become like a freaking Barnum and Bailey circus, man.
Yes.
And that's all. And that goes up.
Hold on. Dusty, you and Lady A, is this like the Latin side of football or something now?
No. It's a two-side
Latin
football.
Side, French
it's
side.
It's a two-side football.
Armenian side, Russian side. The fact of the matter is that you, from the head coach up to the Tannenbaums and behind the desk and under the bed
Dusty, you know what? Nobody gives our man over there with the Giants any kind of credit, and yet you never hear one word about the deficiencies and inefficient ability of what Tannenbaum, GM. I mean, he's on the hot seat, but nobody gives Reese any credit. And the point that you and Lady A have made, you know what I mean, because the trades and the money being spent is not by the coaches, by the GM. You never hear anything about Tannenbaum. And on the other hand, the guy who was the world champion, Harold, the guy who's won two Super Bowls in his 5 years, who's had a winning record his whole time, you never hear one word about Jerry Reese. And I'm getting the feeling that it's all about, once again, as I always say, the complexion with the connection.
Well,
anybody hear
Doc, yeah, I agree. But, Doc, you also have to remember that he just didn't win two rings. Remember, he was there 15 years as a second banana. So he must have two or three other rings, doing this Phil Simms and all them other suckers there.
He's walking around
with four or five rings, man.
Yeah, but you know what?
The fact of the matter is, you can have all the stars for the show or whatever,
Dusty, but the reality is you spent money unnecessarily knowing that you had to have something for the team. You don't have anything right now.
You brought another car when you had four cars already, and you needed a bedroom set and something, a kitchenette. So you got four cars, that's what you're saying, and you brought another car. You got a five-car garage. You got five cars already. But you know, the thing here, you have to question and you have to understand why Joe Namath doesn't have any respect or regard for the Jet organization anymore. I mean, I understand sports fans. The Doc Sonny Sports Network on the Blake Network, Rainbow Souls Channels, wasn't the show. Now, fans, I understand that you may say, well, how come these people in these positions don't see this? But have to understand, this is a select group of people. My panel can deal with football, basketball, politics, geometry, trigonometry, you know what I mean? It's an amazing thing that this is so obvious, and the people in position. As last year, see, when you start the season off, why are you getting the quarterback, as Lady A said, there's no line to protect him? Why are you giving Sanchez money and saying, you're my quarterback of the future, and then, like Seawings is saying, you're bringing in Tebow. And you know, as Rooney said, they're not bringing in Tebow here to sit on the bench. So, as Harold said, and as Dusty, as the champion boxers getting together, it has been a continuous green circus. Go, panel. Take
exactly.
It.
I mean,
they're
absolutely right.
I think the Jets put themselves money-wise, like Lady A, the rest of the panel said, they couldn't get the talent now if they wanted to. Unlike the
Everything
Giants,
is sealed.
They have money to play with. I think you had to really look in the offseason at what you needed, a wide receiver core. You needed a running back. I still think that the Jets should have went after Cedric Benson. I saw how we played him in the 2010 season when we played him in the wild card game. The guy was killing us.
he may have a few off the field problems. This guy is a player.
You pay a guy for what he does on the field, and you know I've said something about this, and it's a sad and touching situation. Why did the Jets not go after Randy Moss? Why did the Jets go after T.O.? They could have had these guys are Hall of Famers. These guys could have been got at bargain prices, and it just as other things change, they remain the same. New York City,
McNabb,
in general.
Add Donovan McNabb.
Oh my goodness,
freaking package, man.
And listen, ladies and gentlemen, his agent and his also leader of his fan club, Dusty. And this panel, we had an hour conversation. You, Lady A, Harold Rooney, with his father. With his mother,
his
the guy
was
available.
Was.
What he could bring to the table. You know,
exactly.
I'm thinking of Gary Ward said. You know, certain teams want to win with a certain guy, and I don't understand. There always seems to be a problem. It seems to be a quota system outside of basketball of the amount of African American players a team can have in New York City. I mean, we're in the 21st century, and nobody's even thinking about a black manager for the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just sad and touching. Doc Stanley, Sports Devil, the Blake, the Rainbow Soul Channel, Sports Devil, the show. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, hold on, gang. We got to do a quick commercial break. And for those of you who think you're dreaming, you're not dreaming, it's Lady A. Lady A is back. She's back from the Olympics.
Is this a recording of Lady A?
Yeah!
She was... she didn't go to Jamaica with Mr. Brock. She brought on back, and all the steroid testing is over with. Lady A is back. We'll be right back after this message. We're here for another hour live at the Jets Panthers game. The gang all here, the family's home. Box Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Blake Griffin Network, Rainbow Soda Channel, Sports and Depth is the show. Don't nobody move. And this year, Blake simply for Dustin.
The opinions and views expressed by the host and guest are not necessarily the views and opinions of the Blake Radio Network. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul. BlakeRadio.com.
Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth, Larry Hardesty.
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
All day, all night, all the time. BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul.
Doc Stanley, Sports Dev on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soda Channel, Sports Dev is the show. We're back here live. That is not a recording. Yes, she was at the Olympics, but she decided to come on back. She wasn't going to go to Russia. She wasn't going to live in Germany. She came on back home, the first lady of sports here on Blake Radio Network. Lady A, Harold Weston
she
Jr., undisputed. But hey, she is gold all by herself, baby. The golden one, the first lady.
She broke back
and
the gold.
Doctor, update. It looks like that Carolina is going to
score
another touchdown.
How shocking!
They did.
But
and they
the Jets
score.
Out of three games have yet to score a touchdown.
Okay, well, Rooney, I mean, see, Wayne, can you come back live? Would you tell us something we don't know? Other teams have been scoring. So when you have something that we don't know, breaking on us.
Can I bring y'all back to history a little bit, how life is really based on?
Go ahead, historian.
No, but the point is this, all right? The Jets has really got a good team, and this is what things have happened. Chicago had a good team at one time with Michael Jordan and other crews.
Scottie Pippen.
Right. They didn't win no titles. They always got beat out of the playoffs. My point is saying this. What they needed, and I said it when they finally did it, I said they needed a new coach. They got Phil Jackson. Phil Jackson came in and straightened things out, and they started winning championships. What I think, if the Jets do not win or get into the playoffs this year, they need to get rid of the coach.
Not only is Rex Ryan going to go, but Tannenbaum is going to go.
I don't care who goes. Everybody needs to go. If it's the team, if you got the players and you cannot make them come up to that potential to win a championship or go to the championship, you got to get rid of the staff or the people that's organizing it, because there is something wrong.
Absolutely.
I don't care who it is, Mel. It's like in corporation. It's like in banking. I don't care what it is. If it's not, if you got all the money in the world and you cannot make it function, then you need to get rid of all the people that keep doing all the ideas.
Absolutely.
Something's wrong.
Absolutely. Right.
I definitely think the head coach, Ryan, he's under a lot of pressure. You may even see.
No, don't even start that. Please don't even go there. You knew what you were taking. You knew what the job was about. If you qualified, you would know how to escalate everybody in position to make you a world champion. That's how good champion coaches do. If you ain't qualified, get off the bench and go
get
home.
Hold on, gang. Let's go to the board. Cam Newton, he's out of the game. He was 6-for-15, 60 yards, a touchdown, and an INT. His rating passing wise was 74.3. Anderson, who's in now, 6-for-7. He had 64 yards. He threw a T-down, touchdown. His rating is 104.3. Rushing game looters, D'Angelo Williams, 7 attempts, 28 yards, 4.1 pitching in his longest. Highest man, Sean Green, the Jets, 13 attempts, 47 yards, 3.6, 18 yards is as long as. Is Sean Green showing you anything? Dustin Keller, one catch, 24 yards, and then he was out. Is Sean Green showing you anything tonight?
Sean Green is showing basically about what he did last year. He's healthy, but he's making the short, completions, running, three yards here, four yards here. He had one breakout for 18 yards. But the problem is the Jets cannot get into the end zone.
Right.
Not for a touchdown. They may get the ball on a kickoff, and they may yell it down, but that's about the only time they're getting into the end zone.
The guy that Brian Smith talked about, David Harris, he has 4 tackles a day. He's the highest tackler. Once again, going back to quarterback, there's Cam Newton, 6-for-15, 60 yards with his total, 1 touchdown. And no INTs, I'm sorry, 74.38. Derek Anderson came in, 1 touchdown, 1 INT, 104.8. He was 6-for-7 for 64 yards. Rushing leaders, as we say, Sean Green, highest man with 47 yards, 13 attempts, 3.3. Carry, what it turned out to be, D'Angelo. For the Panthers, they're leading rushing 7 attempts, 28 yards, 4.1. His long was 15. Don't wait, lady, you and Harold, we're definitely going to talk some boxing. Receiving-wise,
I just want to make a point about coaching. It's like, I just want to say this thing. Let me say this. It's like me saying this, all right? I'm saying that, we got Mean Joe Green up front. And I'm saying, telling Mel, you block Mean Joe Green. I'm the coach now. Mel, you block Mean Joe Green before you can get to the quarterback, okay? Now, what I'm trying to explain here is that a coach needs to know how to execute all his players in a way of making sure that we can make this run and we can make the yards or we can make the touchdown. What I'm just saying, like I said before, get rid of the coach. If he cannot do the job with the qualified athletes that he has, and this is what athletes go through, is that if he does not know how to use those people, then he needs to be fired. That's simple as that. Because bottom line is that it's on the coach. I believed in Gil Clancy. I believed in my father, okay, to take me to execute what I had to do in that ring.
Exactly.
If they told me to go out there, put your hand down, let them hit you, then I know that's wrong. Because I'm going to get the shit beat out of me.
Right, exactly. Harold hit the nail on the head, and this is where we have to look at the whole overall picture. When they took this blunderbuss out of whatever he was and made him head coach of the Jets, It was all about him. There was not a mic that he didn't like, that he didn't talk trash to.
Right.
We're going to do, we're going to do, we're going to do, and we're going to do just out of his mouth. The dude lost 100 pounds weight, man. He probably put that 100 pounds weight into his mouth because he's still talking trash.
He wanted to get a contract with weight loss. That's what he wanted to do.
Fellas, calm down. Children may be listening. Dusty, calm down. Children may be listening, Dusty.
Yeah. I don't care who's listening. He didn't bother to build the team like, I don't know the other coaches, I don't know their resumes, but he didn't bother to build a team the way other coaches are building.
Well, you know, Dusty, I think it's in his defense is that, and this is where I say, where the GM came in. They did some things. They took guys off that line. They didn't pay guys. And it weakened his team, and you know, he couldn't do anything about it. That's why I'm saying the first guy that has to go here is not Ryan. It's got to be Tannenbaum. Tannenbaum has internally
everybody got to go. Clean house. Everybody got
to
go. I mean, this is ridiculous nonsense.
To the coach, when he had the pieces there, he put together
back
a good team.
Back to back times, yeah.
They executed. If you put a quarterback like Tom Brady on this team, you put Peyton Manning on this team. Mind you, Peyton Manning didn't want to come to this team back in 98. He went to the Tennessee Volunteers and played another year so he wouldn't be drafted. If you put quarterbacks like that, Drew Brees, they will struggle on a team like this. You have nobody
exactly.
to protect you.
Because you don't have anybody, see? Telling you, you don't have any. Listen, how do you spend all these money on these quarterbacks if you don't have anybody?
Yeah, my
you
point.
You don't want to throw to, you don't have the time to right. throw, you don't have the talent to hand it off to run the ball. You could be the best quarterback in the world.
You could also, hold up. You could have the best defensive team in the world, but if you're not scoring, you're not going to win a football game.
Right, and that's the whole thing. My point is that if you got the number one defense in the league, and I got the real number one quarterback, how could I not win the Super Bowl?
Right.
Exactly.
How could I not win the Super Bowl? How could I not go to the playoffs?
Well, you have to know it, but you understand, you know, you got to score points. I mean,
that's
as great as Bill Russell was,
you got the number one. You got the number one defense, okay? And then on top of that, you got the best quarterback. Let me just say this. I'm going to say this right now. Pittsburgh Steelers.
Right.
They had the number one defense. But Bradshaw, right?
Bradshaw.
He wasn't the number one quarterback.
Right.
He wasn't the number one
look at this.
Oh. you bring up such a valuable point. I mean, and it's amazing.
Absolutely.
Because the defense carried him, and that there was a big racial issue. Jefferson Street Joe Gilliam came in with Bradshaw and took that team to a 6-1 record, and yet he came back and lost his job. But you're right, Bradshaw, I thought, has been one of the most overrated quarterbacks in the history of this game, and Tebow has just shown what he can do by running for a big first down.
But Bradshaw was never the number one quarterback in football.
No, you're right, Al. Let's be real here, man.
I'm just saying the fact is that the Pittsburgh still won more championships because of the defense. And on top of that, he was able to leave the scores into the pocket. That was the whole thing about the Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And his,
that was
and
the big 7-0 team.
And you know what? And I'm going to tell this year, it had nothing to do with that. They had a good coaching team that knew what they were doing and switched everybody
absolutely.
Up.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You won't bring out Big Butterball. What was the big boy name that they made him a star?
Are you talking about Chicago Bears with the refrigerator?
Refrigerator, right? They made a joke out of it after a while. They made refrigerator. And he was a defensive guy. Now they said you're gonna be a halfback. I mean, please.
Gang, calm down. What we're going to do here, maybe I'm thinking if we turn away from the Jets, maybe they'll get a little better. So let's talk We got Lady A here. We got Harold here. We got some fights coming up. Lady A, ladies first. Let you kick it. We haven't been for a while. We got the fight that our man Gilberto.
Can I ask a question? Why does Lady A gotta go first?
He likes the Andrew Ward, Chad Dawson fight. He's leaning toward Andrew Ward. Lady A, your thoughts? Who are you picking? Andrew Ward, Chad Dawson?
Tebow just threw a pick.
Jesus
Christ.
He was intercepted by Reggie Smith, the safety.
Yep. Hold on. Okay, let me say this. Maybe my English is not coming through. See, when you interrupt us, when you tell us something we don't know.
Calm down.
Okay, in fact, you know what?
See, Wings,
go to the bathroom or something, okay? Do not.
Sports and Deaf Nation out there. The problem here is everyone thinks, and you had a lot of these zealots out here that followed Tebow and thought he was the second coming to the NFL.
Listen. Let me tell you something. Rooney has a feeling that he's not here just to sit on the bench. You have the feeling that he is not what he is perceived to be. He's in, the guy is a quarterback, okay? That's what he's saying. I'm going to say this one more time. I'm going to say it one time, and Joe Klecko agreed. Last year, all right, he took his team to the playoffs. His team won the division, and he won the playoff game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. That cannot be said by Sanchez, anybody now, understands what Sanchez. And the thing that Joe Klecko said, the guy brings some credibility here. Everybody's playing horrible. Why are we going to talk about him playing horrible? Everybody's playing horrible. But what we're going to do? We're going to pull away from the Jets. We may even have to cut away from the Jets here. But let's get back. I kind of swore over the Blake Griffin. They were main bowlers on the show. The show real quickly. Let me do a little music. We're gonna ease away. Ease my mind. Want to salute Brazil once again. Great Olympics. First time ever they had somebody win a gold medal and an individual award. That was lovely. We had Sarah Marines, who won a gold medal in judo. We also had my man Ananetti, who won a gold medal in gymnastics. They won 17 medals all together. Their volleyball team won a gold medal. Upset. There was a little upset that the football team did not win, but they won a silver medal. And we want to salute Brazil. Thanks, Rosie, our number one listener. But let's get back to this. Let's talk a little sweet science here. We can get Harold calm down and Lady A slowing again and Dusty. Okay, let's talk about the fights here. Lady A, we got some big ones coming up, Chavez and Martinez. We've got Andrew Ward and Chad Dawson. And we've also got Carmelo Anthony against a guy nobody even knows about. And your thoughts, first of all, Andrew Ward against Chad Dawson, our man, Gilberto Jumbo Ortiz, the Latin side of Broken on Boxing, he says he likes Ward. Do you see Dawson coming down in weight? Is this a disadvantage for Dawson? I think if he's the harder hitter, coming down in weight, he still should have his power and speed. Who do you like and why? And then we're going to shoot it to Harold and Dusty. Lady A, your pick, Andrew Ward, Chad Dawson.
I like Andre Ward. He showed me that he's been consistent through most of his fights.
Wow.
I like Andre Ward for this fight. I got to give it to Dawson, though, for wanting to go down in weight class and to fight him. But I think Ward will end up winning the fight. For the Chavez-Martinez fight, I'm just going to tell you straight out, you guys already know who my Papi Chulo is and who's going to win the fight.
Mm-hmm.
So, without a doubt, I'm going to say Sergio Martinez.
Mm-hmm.
For that fight,
he doesn't try to get too cute.
No.
Well, see that's really the point. And I'm glad you said that. We want to everybody here. We want to remind you to listen to the Crystal Heart Show 9 o'clock on Thursdays. I checked the radio.
How's she doing, Doc? How's everything with her family?
She should have got that video. The interview she did was she's doing better with the elbows. We want her dad is not in the best health. So we want everybody here across the world, across the nation, keep your prayers for all of us here and for Crystal. Her dad is not in the best of health. She's getting better. Number one female sportscaster in New York City. Number one as a sportscaster and the prettiest. And if you're prettiest in New York City, you're prettiest in the world. It's like Lady A is number one in the world. So we want Crystal Heart, 9 o'clock on, is that Wednesdays, right, Dusty? Wednesdays?
Yeah, Wednesdays.
Yeah, Wednesdays night, Wednesday, Crystal Heart, 9 o'clock, host of cable
the Crystal
show.
Heart Show.
The Crystal Heart Show, also, the show before us, we got here, the wife of George Forster.
Doc, now that you're saying that, I wanted to ask, you guys heard from Carlos and the guys from Boricua Boxing?
No, we haven't. They disappeared off the face of the earth. You're right.
Yeah, what's going on with them? Are they all right?
I would imagine so.
He still has a website. I see it all the time.
Oh, I haven't seen him around in a while, though.
I haven't seen him at the press conferences, but I've seen him. I understand that he was sick. I sent him a get well card,
You never send nobody here in the panel get well card. What's the story? Is this a Latin thing here? I was
hey.
Talking about you didn't send me no get well card. What's happening here?
You want to cry bias? It's a Latin thing. You like it?
Dusty, if you do send a card, send money, baby. Send money. Hey, Dusty, not pesos, dinero, okay?
We're talking about
Ward and Dawson.
Hold on. You made up a good point, lady, about the Martinez Chavez fight. Because Chavez is going to be so much bigger. And Rooney has said something, too. And it was something that Dusty alluded to. I think Harold, he can't do some of the things he does, he has been doing in the past with this boy. He can't be sticking his chin out. He can't be keeping his hands down. And if like Rooney says, if he doesn't get cute and fight the kind of fight that he fought the first time against Paul Williams, because if not, looking back, we have to say that those fights against Williams and his other fights, he's been kind of lucky. I like him. I think he has the talent. I think he's better than Chavez.
I mean, but it's not like he hasn't fought bigger guys before. He fought Pavlik, and look what happened.
Pavlik, for all intents and purposes, his biggest fight, it wasn't even the fight against Jermaine Taylor, who in a lot of words as a champion, in the words of Marion B. Boykin, Boykin on boxing too. Oh, incidentally, everybody, Doc Stanley Sports In Depth blog. .com.br, that's the blogger, that's the site, Working on Boxing's on there, and DocStanleySports.com, the site, check it, Doc Stanley Sports Depth Hall of Fame, get in there, we've got the Trust in God Hall of Fame, got some things, the Smithsonian gave us a call this week, they'll be visiting once again, but it's DocStanleySports.com, DocStanleySportsInDepthBlog.com.br, that's my blogger, we had a Working on Boxing story, Gilberto, he said like you, he liked Andrew Ward against Chad Dawson.
Yeah.
Now, the thing, too, is that, with Martinez, he has to stay focused. I think he's simply better than Chavez, but he can't, hands down, keep sticking his chin out. This boy is going to come in as
But he's also faster than Chavez.
Well, there's no question, the thing that Lou DiBella said he feels, there's two things here. The boy is going to be 20 pounds heavier than he is. And he's going to be fighting down there in Mexico because Las Vegas is a lot closer to Mexico than Argentina is. I mean, I think if Martin, he has to stay focused. He has to be serious. He has to fight the kind of fight he. Now, Pavlik, for all intents and purposes, Pavlik's best fight, it wasn't even a fight against Jermaine Taylor. His best fight was against Miranda that got him the title shot to Jermaine Taylor. And Pavlik, for all intents and purposes, has never been the same fighter. And we know he's had some ailments as he's had a problem with the bottle. So,
but, Doc, you mentioned the main thing. If Martinez comes in focused, I think his skill level is so much greater than Chavez Jr.
No question.
But if he comes in shucking and jiving with the hands down and the chin out, he's going to get hit on the chin, Doc, and go. I'm telling you. He better come in focused and ready to rumble.
The point you make, too, with that fight being in Vegas, if he gets hit on the chin, hits the canvas, hey, they'll say 5-5 is 10, fight's over. You know what I mean? There's no question about it.
What everybody forgets is the fact that by Chavez's own admission, I had a one-on-one with him. He told me we purposely avoided Martinez because we weren't ready for him. We took these other fights, a maturation type of build-up that doesn't make him a winner, but follow what I'm saying. The maturation of fighting these guys, the first one was Civic, which, by the way, I don't know you folks know, Martinez refused to fight Civic. So what happens, he lost his title and Chavez took the fight and beat Civic. Now he's the middleweight champ. Now Martinez is bellyaching because that's my title. Hey, sucker, you didn't want to fight Civic. So what happens? They turn around and he makes his first defense. Peter Manfredo from the Contender Series, a fair to middling journeyman, he knocks him out in five rounds. Then he says, okay, Martinez, you're next. But then they said, whoa, wait a minute. Let's take on Marcos Rubio, a former champ. And this Marcos Rubio was is a tough dude. So what happens, it was a good maturation workout with Marcos Rubio. And then what happens, okay, Martinez, you're next. They sidelined him again and took Andy Lee. You see? So what happens? Now, why Andy Lee the last guy? Because Andy Lee was faster. He was 27-1. He was Emmanuel Stewart protege. And guess what? He was a southpaw. And those three rounds that he sacrificed losing to Andy Lee, meeting Chavez, was a maturation point to learn how to get to a southpaw and beat him. Now, Martinez, if you've seen him, he fought all those European imports. I mean, great. He knocked them out. He knocked them out in the first round. He knocked them out in the last round because Martinez could knock out Chavez anytime he wants because he's a harder puncher. But what you fail to forget is Martinez has not been taking deep waters with body punches. And one of the most vicious body punches in the business today, like his father, is Chavez Jr.
Okay, so Dustin, you're going with Chavez?
Of course I'm going with Chavez. He's going to bounce him, he's going to get to his body, and he's going to hurt him. Remember, he has better defensive skills, and he has a jab that he hadn't used in a long time, and he's been using it. And when he gets to Martinez's body, he may slow him down. If you look at all Martinez's other fights, first of all, he hardly body punched, one, and secondly, the other dudes hardly ever got to his body. Chavez is a body stalker. He's a body killer. And like he told me in Spanish, and I say in English, you kill the body and the head dies. And that's what he believes in. And his father was that way. So,
all right. Well, then we got Dustin.
Am I right? Huh?
No, I was going to say, Dustin's got Martinez, Lady A.
And I got Ward.
No. You both go with Ward. Dustin's taking Chavez. How, looking at this fight, Andre Ward and Chad Dawson, who are you picking and who do you see the Chavez and Martinez fight?
Well, my conclusion is that I'm gonna take. I'm not gonna take Ward because for one particular reason is that he's been, he's had the handpicked kind of opponents to get to where he wanted to get, and I think that any man that says I'm gonna come into your ground and fight you and whip you at your own grounds, I gotta go with him. I'm one of them guys that I'm it's a warrior type of situation.
Flashback to Vito Antifermo.
and Benitez.
Yeah, Benitez. Oh, hey, I'm coming to get you, bro.
And Rocky Marioni. We go on and on and on. But my point is that I'm gonna take Ward. I just think that they're trying to groom into that superstar that they want. And he just doesn't have that charisma that is there for him.
Harold, I want you to pick up on this, too. No, Harold, when you're done, Harold, I want you to follow right behind Harold. Go ahead, Harold.
I just think that where we're at is that, the promoters are trying to find, themselves a superstar. Because of the fact that this is a great fight. Don't get me wrong. This is
a great
fight.
Oh, hell yeah, it's a great fight.
But at the same time is that, neither fighter has charisma to whoever wins to carry it to another level.
We'll build on that.
Okay?
Yeah.
And that's the bad part about it. But what I'm saying is that for Ward, to accept this fight, on that plateau that he's on, being an Olympic guy, winning so-called whatever championship he's got, and
the Super Sixes.
I don't know. I forgot. I don't even consider anybody champion no more. I just say whoever he is, whatever alphabet who he is, that's cool. All right, good.
Let me ask you a question, Harold. His contest with the Super Sixes of the best of the world, European world, doesn't that give him some modicum of credentials?
Well, no, because you know what? Because I can have you and me and Mel and Supple and even Lady A be in a tournament, and I beat everybody, and I'm champion Super Six. So what does that mean?
Well, he fought the best in the world.
It didn't mean nothing because for me,
yeah.
is that they didn't organize this situation in a real professional way of to my thoughts of that you didn't put the best against the best, okay? You just drawn out these so-called super whoever y'all wanted to be Super Six. Who knew them
right.
guys? Okay? Nobody knew who they were. Flock was about the only guy that anybody even knew.
Kessler?
yeah, right.
Well, Mikko Kessler and
Flock.
Saki Obika. Saki Obika.
Nobody knew who Saki Obika. I didn't even know who Saki Obika was.
Hold on, Gary. What I need here, too, real quickly, because we could be in the close. Rooney, your pick here.
Wait, hold up. How did he pick the other fight?
I'm
going with Martinez. I like Martinez.
Yeah.
Why?
Because
I think Martinez is more seasoned. And one thing about Martinez, I'm going to give him great respect because he's like my kind of guy. He came to America and knocked out. He knocked people out. I ain't going to use the real word I want to use, but I'm going to say he just knocked people out.
Don't worry, we know that word is out.
Right. And I got to give it to him. Because, I mean, when you go to somebody's hometown and say, I'm going to come here and beat your butt, that's serious. And then he come back again and do it again. I mean, and he didn't say, you know, he got the best. He got, let's just say, Paul wins the most fierce fighter at the time that nobody wants to fight.
That's right.
Very awkward.
Nobody
right.
wants to fight. This man came here, said, I'm going to be, and he said it, I'm going to knock him out.
And fought him twice, Harold. Fought him twice.
He said he was going to knock him out.
I got to give it to him.
All right. Let's understand. Chavez Jr. is not Chavez Sr. Okay?
Thank you, Harold. Somebody said that. Thank you.
All right.
Well, he's not.
Let me
say this, okay? He has grown as a fighter. I will say this about Chavez Jr. Compared to the green kid of a year or two ago, you know, he is better defensively. As Dusty pointed out, he's a hell of a body puncher. He's very strong, tough kid. I'm not going to take that from him, okay? But like Hal said, I just think the skill level is so vastly superior. With Martinez, as far as overall hand speed, ring generalship.
Taking candy from a baby.
Yeah, the jab.
I think
his skill level is far superior, Doc, to Chavez.
And
if he comes in focused and ready to rumble, I see him. If he doesn't get too cute, like I said, because if he takes that chin out, Chavez is going to hit him on it and knock him out. Okay? But if he comes in ready to rumble and he is focused, I see him beating Chavez.
I agree with you, Rooney. Hold on, Rooney. Go back on Martinez. Hold tight. I go with you there because the thing of Martinez, you know, he didn't fight the mandatory, and Chavez, in turn, not only fought the guy that he didn't fight the mandatory for, but he wound up getting Martinez's belt. And I feel a lot of ways Martinez is going to come in, folks. He feels that the
revenge.
Boy has something that belongs to him, and I think that's going to be. Just more of the already incentive to get back what rightfully is mine, being the title, you know, and being the belt. And I just think I agree with you. I think he's just better. I think he's just you could be better and have experience.
Martinez is very experienced. He has not taken a beating. Okay, Chavez is inexperienced. He's never been in this kind of position with this kind of a fighter in his life. You guys got to understand, and Dusty can verify it. When you go in there, it's like me when I went in there with Emil Griffin when I'm young. He knows much more than what I know. And his punches are much harder than what I have ever felt before. Even if I've been in there with 100 guys before. It's not the same, fellas.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It's not the same. Mm-hmm. The punches are different, believe
That's
me.
That's correct.
They
you know,
are
you,
different.
You remind me of what Don Duffy said with the first Leonard Duran fight. He said Leonard would have to fight a Duran before he can beat a Duran.
Can I ask you guys?
And you're
question?
Right. And you know what? And I picked Duran to beat Lennon the first fight for one reason. I said Lennon has never really been hidden by a real
guy like
fighter
yeah, yeah,
before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And when he got hit by Duran, he ran all over the goddamn ring after that.
Right.
Yeah,
well,
yeah,
can
yeah,
I ask
that's
everybody
right.
a question? Well, then, what weight does this have when Martinez? For $900, was knocked out by Antonio Margarito when they were welterweights. He was dropped in the fifth round, and when he first came here, that means somehow or other Margarito is a heavy-handed, slow-footed dude.
Well,
and Margarito
that's
knocked
that's
him out.
We know that Margarito's hand was doctored. I mean, we know that whatever Margarito hit him with, it wasn't all Margarito.
Let me tell you something. When
Margarito fought Angel Lujan and separated his ear from his head.
Exactly. There you go. There you go.
Don't Margarito's disgrace the sport of boxing. That's what
yes.
I'm gonna say.
He is.
Okay?
Let me tell you something.
Don't ever bring that
Dusty,
man's name up for
Dusty,
nothing.
Dusty,
sport.
His
That's
ear was separated from his head.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me make it clear from now on. The name Antonio Margarito is forbidden and underhanded here. And if you mention the name, you will get a 15-day suspension, Dusty, if you ever mention it again. You know what I mean? And you'd have to mail to the United Docs anyway,
$250 every 2 weeks. But, Doc, I'm real serious about this because the sport is the most serious. I mean, he could have killed the people, you
what?
Know what I'm saying?
Forget
and my
about
point
kill,
is,
man.
He brought
about
disgrace.
That, man.
He brought disgrace to the game. I mean, when you're supposed to show your manhood in this situation, and, you know, when you bring up Margarito, who has
now,
had
he may have killed some people in Mexico.
All these years,
he may have killed some people. Well, we know. He may have killed some people. I mean,
so Doc Howard basically is saying, and, you know, the purest and the great Howard and whatnot, but saying this is a Louis Resto type situation.
I mean, you know what? It's like Armstrong. When they took all his titles away because of this doping thing, Margarito should have had everything stripped from his ass. They should take
Margarito
out everything that he
Margarito
got.
Margarito, when that's the how, when they found his hand, there was no. And this is what I said before. It showed me the lack of character and the lack of a champion of not only Pacquiao, but top rank to even remotely consider letting this man fight for a title, more or less, to get into
right.
the ring. And when Pacquiao and Bob Arum found no way to fight Floyd Mayweather Jr. and went to Antonio Margarito, where then top rank sank. They should take the
right.
top off top rank and put S-A-N-K, because that was a and I've said this before, and I will say this again with a happy birthday to Don King. If that would have been a Don King fighter, Don King and Antonio bleep, bleep, bleep would have been banned from boxing for life.
But my whole consideration of the thing is that Margarito even walking the earth and saying that he was champion, knowing he knew he had these pads in his damn hands, is the most disgrace of being a human being as a man.
Right.
Simple as that.
Right.
I mean, he can't even talk to me because I'm a man. I mean, but that crew that I'm used to, it doesn't exist no more. But he's lucky it doesn't exist because we would have downgraded him. He could not do nothing. The sport I love.
Howard, Madison Square Garden.
That kind of
Madison
person
Square
I don't even
Garden
want to talk to.
Madison Square Garden would have never had a fight, and he'd been in it. Where he fought Cotto in the Garden, I'm thinking, well, I know you as matchmaker there, he couldn't get in the Garden. I would think John Condon and Murray Goodman and Bill Shannon, I think you guys would have not said, hey, man, you know, you can't fight here.
It goes back, fellas, I mean, ladies and fellas, it goes back to, again, I've said it about 20,000 times, the weak need boxing commissions.
You took it right out of my mouth because I was coming next.
Political connections. Here, Mayweather and Pacquiao fell through again. Pacquiao had a date in Texas Stadium. Jerry Jones and all those guys said, okay, we'll give him a one-day license. This is what I suspected that he got with Cotto, a one-day license. And Melvina, the boxing commission, has said no good because he has not come. You know, you got to wrap it up in one package of understanding. Floyd came out of the correction center. First statement, first thing that was said, it says, is he going to fight again? As a warning, well, before he fights, he has to go and plead his case to the boxing commission to get his license back. That's the protocol. Margarito never went to any commission, whether it's Texas Stadium or New York or what. And
oh, he did.
And he had to go.
They gave him a one-year ban.
Hold on a second. He had to go. He had to go to where he committed the crime when Shane Mosley, he had to go there and plead his case after the year suspension. That never happened. That never happened. That's what I say. It's the weak-kneed commission who are allowing these atrocities.
Oh,
he should have never fought
Pacquiao.
But
let me ask you this. Do you even think for some remote reason, let's put it like this, there's not a snowball's chance in a fiery furnace in the 80s with the boxing commission being the way it was that he would have been able to get away with something like that? Absolutely not.
Nah, he would have been
as stringent
life,
as the rules were?
He would have been able to get away with that back in the day.
He would have been banned for life and gone to jail.
That's
right.
Right.
Yeah, he'd have been banned. He might have been killed.
Do you guys remember a guy named Rocky Castellani? Harold, maybe you'll remember.
I know him.
Rocky Castellani was in an elimination middleweight fight. I forgot the guy, and he was the overall favorite. And at that time, the referees were the third man voting. What happened?
Yeah.
The referee voted against Rocky voted against Rocky Castellani. And Castellani was so pissed off that he roughed up the referee, him and his manager. What happened?
Right.
They lost their license, and Castellani was banned for life
for
hitting a boxing official. Okay.
Yeah,
he never got another shot nowhere. And then there was a collateral agreement with all the other states. So, hey, he had to go back to the bodega or whatever because he could never fight again. And he was
so he fought with
you,
Dusty? He was fighting with you?
Huh?
He was fighting with you in the bodega?
Huh?
He was boxing with you in the bodega?
But this is...
because Swallow wouldn't allow it either. You know, incidentally, because we're at a football game. For those of you who are interested, there's got to be very few of you right now. It's 2 seconds left, and the Jets are trailing the Carolina Cougars. It's 2 seconds.
What you say like it is that the Jets are losing?
Game over.
Hold on a minute. So Seawitch is on his way down to talk to the 39 plays, 169 yards, and the Jets have still not scored a touchdown in the preseason. But I guess they're waiting to score all their points during the regular season because evidently they're not doing it preseason.
The regular season?
Hey, Doc, let me ask you a question.
You go, lady.
Is my baby down there, John Connor?
No, I didn't see him last week. But ain't his fault. But yeah, we saw him out at the camp. But the Seawitch is going to go into the locker room and talk to the Jets. I'm going to go to the Lynn Wynn locker room. You know, I'm going to the other side. You know what I mean? And I got my season pass. Doc Stanley Sports Up on the Blake with another Rainbow Show, Chance Sports Up Show. We're getting ready to wrap this up. It is a consensus here. Andre Ward is liked by some. Chad Dawson. I like Chad Dawson in this fight. I'm going to go with Martinez in the fight against Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. He's not fighting the senior. And the Carmelo Anthony.
I'm going with Chad Dawson, too. What are you talking about?
Okay. I'm saying, well, me and Howard, we're going with Ted Dawson, and we're going also with Sergio Martinez. We've got the fight to Carmelo Anthony, but, I mean, that's the fight that everybody figures is just a tune-up for Carmelo Anthony. Alvarez.
Carmelo Anthony.
Alvarez.
Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah.
No, Carmelo Alvarez.
I'm thinking about the basketball play. Gang, it is the closing seconds here. Actually, it was the closing second for the Jets ever since they deferred the football back here in the first half.
Hey, Lord.
Got some quick stats. Next, the Jets will open the season September the 9th against the Buffalo Bills at 1 o'clock. Maybe by then they've got into the end zone. Maybe they wait until September the 9th to get into the end zone. Maybe it's a birthday present for my son. It'll be his birthday. Happy birthday again to Irving Magic Johnson. Don
you
King
got me down
birthday
for that game, Doc?
I'm going to take care of you, baby. You know, okay, baby. Just bring me a gold medal. Just bring me a gold medal. Gang,
man, that
quickly.
Ain't invite me never to a gang, boy. Boy, I
Boy, oh,
like,
my God.
Like,
here we go.
Let me say this. Don't let me get big now.
You mean bigger. You already said you mean bigger.
Harold.
You mean bigger, Harold.
Harold, listen, you can have your chance to give me the, a color photo instead of a cheesy black and white photo that Doc has been trying to pull off on me.
Lady, you have a dinner. You can have the limousine. You can have all that.
See that? You lost me already, Doc. Goodbye.
Hey, hold on. You know what? In that case, you don't need to come to the game September 9th.
You lost me already, Doc. Goodbye. I'm all Harold. Sorry.
Hey, listen. Yo, it ain't a coincidence. We first came Dusty, then came Rooney, then Kate Seen Wings. Then I said, oh, there's another. Who's on the card? Howard Webster. You know what I mean? And then about 42.2 tenths of a second later. Hi, Harold.
Oh, God, it
is. Yeah. See, Wings is going to run on down to the locker room. We're going to close out a minute. See, Wings, go ahead down there. Take some towels and tissue, baby. There's some towels and tissue.
Let me say this to you. For the next year, you better stock up on whatever tissue you have. Get into that market. Because you're going to be all right.
You know
what money you put there, you're going to be all right.
Like seaweed,
let's pick up a
collection
of the Kleenex tissues.
My goodness. Doc Stanley, Sports Network, the Blake, the Rainbow, so the Channel Sports Network show will be back here next Sunday. Next Sunday, George Foster and his famous bat, Black Beauty, and Cleo Kilpatrick will be our guests. We will talk baseball, Nate B. Baseball. They're all here. Lady A, the first lady of sports on the Blake Network, Harold Weston Jr., the only really matchmaker that we need right here. Justino, baby, Lopez. No more need to be safe. Mr. Newspaper himself, the Times, the Post, the News, El Diario, El Mundo, and Quinte Punto, all in one, baby. Covering
El
no
Montero.
Hey, Mel.
Sometimes the Mexican
Smith
news,
Jr.
too.
Mel, Rooney, tell everybody good night for us, would you?
Of course, Doc. The Sports In Depth Nation's been here. The Sports In Depth panel's been here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I've been here. We've been here courtesy of the Blake Radio Network, and the straw that stirs the drink's been here. And that's Doc Stanley. Thank you, Doc.
Thank you, Rooney. And who has not been here is the J-E-T-S Jets, as once again, they haven't got into the end zone. They've lost again still. Have not scored a touchdown here in the preseason, but I guess they're saving all their energies for when the season comes. A lot of guys won't be around to see the season the way they're playing. But we will be here September 9th. They open the season against the Buffalo Bills. Free thoughts. Live your life today. Here's 10 before God tomorrow. Life's most persistent and most urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Service to others is meant to pay for your space on earth. I simply say from the bottom of my heart, God bless you all and trust in God. The gang is here. We are ecstatic. Lady A is back. Our goddess. Our first lady, our queen, the Queen Bee, will hoover around her neck. She's back. She'll be back next week. Been on assignment. Nate B. Baseball. Hope to join us next week. George Foster, MVP, slugger extraordinaire, and Cleo Kilpatrick will be our guest next week. The man who is the sideline reporter for the New York Jets, the number one African-American sportscaster in the history of New York City radio, the legend that lives, our good friend Larry Hardesty. We'll say goodnight. Doc Stanley, Sports and Death on the Blake, but never rainbow, so the channel Sports Death of the show. God bless you all and trust in God. Larry, you got something to say? Could the Jets still have anything to say? Larry, tell us something.
This concludes another edition of Sports and Death with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul Channel. Sports in Depth is showing the panel tonight. The first lady of sports on Blake Radio, Lady A. The incomparable Pat Weston Jr. Matchmaker extraordinaire, first African-American matchmaker and the only in the history of Madison Square Garden boxing. The news, your paper man himself, The Time, El Diario, El Mundo, The Post, The Square, everything. This Daniel Baby Lopez and Mel Cosell Smith Jr., the man who tells it like it is all the time. On assignment was Nate B. Baseball and the hoops of Lewis Hart. We'll be here next week, 9 o'clock. That's tonight's show with a special edition for MetLife Stadium, the New York Jets against the Carolina Panthers, 17-12. The Panthers, again, have kept the Jets on the losing end. Doc Stanley, Sports Up on the Blake, with another Rainbow Soda Channel Sports Up the show. From the bottom of my heart, God bless you all and trust in God. Be here next week. And remember, DocStanleySports.com. That's the site. Doc Stanley Sports In Depth blog.com.br. From the bottom of my heart, God bless you all and trust in God. Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network. Rainbow Soda Channel, Sports in Depth is the show. Be here. As they say, be there, be square. God bless you all and trust in God.